Grace to you and peace from God, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said before in the service today, we are celebrating the Epiphany of our Lord. And in our gospel lesson, we heard the story of the three wise men, as we've come to call them, or more accurately, the three magi, who are the first Gentiles to come to worship Jesus. And this story of the Magi has become such an integral part to our Christmas celebrations in 21st century Christianity, but I wonder how well we actually know the biblical text from Matthew chapter 2, which records the visit of these Magi. See, there are a number of assumptions that we have made as 21st century Christians about the visit of the Magi that, frankly, Matthew just does not record for us. Let me give you a couple of those assumptions. First off, did you know that the word Magi doesn't actually mean wise man? We can call them wise men, but in fact, they were Magi. And in ancient Greek, there is a distinction between wise men and Magi. The Greek Old Testament, the translation of Daniel chapter 2, actually makes this explicit, where wise men and Magi are listed as two separate groups of people. Now, to be fair, the Magi certainly did possess wisdom, in a sense, worldly wisdom, that is, but that's not the focus that Matthew wants you to have your attention on. If he wanted to have your attention on the wisdom of the Magi, there are a number of ways he could have done so, but Matthew calls them Magi, not wise men, so I'm going to do my best to do the same. That is one assumption. Another assumption that we often make is that there were three Magi who came to visit Jesus. But as you probably noticed, if you hadn't known this already, the number three is not mentioned at all in this reading. Christian tradition states that there were three of them to correspond to the three gifts, and there may well have been three of them. We just don't know. Matthew doesn't tell us. You know, another assumption that we make about this story of the Magi is that the Magi followed the star from their country to Jerusalem. But Matthew doesn't tell us that the star led them to Jerusalem. Matthew simply says that the star appeared, and then the wise men made their way to Jerusalem. It wasn't until they left Jerusalem on their way to Bethlehem that the star appeared to actually lead the wise men to the place where Jesus was, which for all we know may not have even been in Bethlehem at this point. Enough time could have passed that Mary and Joseph and Jesus might have been back in Nazareth. We just don't know. Matthew doesn't give us all of the details that we would like to know about this story. So through the tradition of the church, and in our own minds, we have filled in a lot of these blanks and put together a more complete story. And so this story of the Magi, as I said, it's become an integral part of the Christmas story and our Christmas celebrations, but I wonder how well we actually know the biblical story given in Matthew chapter 2. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is take some time to work through this text and see what it is that the Lord would have us learn by taking a closer look at what Matthew chapter 2 says. So Matthew begins the text by saying this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." Now, let me ask you a question about these two verses that you might not have considered before. How do you think the first century hearers and readers of this text, the original audience of Matthew's gospel. How do you think those original readers would have taken these verses? How would they have reacted to this proclamation? Look, magi from the east have showed up in Jerusalem and are looking for the newborn king of the Jews. How might those original hearers have felt about this statement? Well, I'll admit, on the one hand, this is an impossible question to answer, but at the same time, it's worth pondering for a moment. See, as I mentioned before, there's a distinction between wise men and magi in biblical thought. And so I believe that the original readers of Matthew's gospel would have been a bit puzzled by the appearance of these magi. Let me use the words of a biblical commentator to explain what I mean. He writes this: in the patristic and medieval period, that is in the first several centuries of church history, the Magi's learning or wisdom was often simply ignored by theologians. When the Magi's learning was addressed, however, it was universally denounced. In other words, their so-called science or art was regarded as false knowledge, even as a false religion. It did not aid them in coming to the Christ, but rather was rejected after they came to the Christ. So maybe you can begin to see why I say that I believe the first hearers of Matthew's gospel would have been a bit puzzled by the appearance of the Magi. These were men who thought that they possessed all of this wisdom and knowledge and insight. But in reality, the Jewish reader of Matthew's gospel would have recognized that these men were so profoundly ignorant of the ways of God precisely because of their obsession with their own wisdom and knowledge. But that's what's really incredible about this story, because it is these profoundly ignorant men who are some of the first people that the Lord chooses to enlighten with the message of his son's birth. It's incredible, really. More on that in a minute. But Matthew continues our reading, starting in verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, and you, O Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the Magi secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. So in these verses, we see two prominent themes coming to light. The first, which we have already begun to explore, is the theme of human ignorance. And the second theme, which we'll touch on more in a minute, is about divine revelation and how the Lord, through divine revelation, he enlightens these ignorant men. But back to the idea of human ignorance. Herod the king is arguably the most ignorant man in this story. He doesn't have a clue about the new king's birth, and he's supposed to be the king of Judea. He's completely ignorant until these foreigners show up and tell him that they're looking for the birth of this new king. Yet the foreigners, of course, the Magi, are just as ignorant. They knew about the birth of the new king, but they didn't know where to look. They were sort of wandering around Jerusalem aimlessly, looking for directions, which you can ask any man in this room, that means a lot, because men, we don't ask for directions unless we are really, really lost. So these men must have been lost. And they come asking where the new king is to be born. And so here in Jerusalem, we have sort of this meeting of human ignorance. The Magi and Herod, and even together, they don't really know what is going on until the Lord reveals through his word by some of the scribes that Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. And so Herod sends the Magi off toward Bethlehem with instructions to report back to him. So Herod says that I may go and worship him also. But of course, we know that that was not Herod's intention. Herod wanted to murder this new rival king. But this section of our reading, it ends on the surface with the powerful King Herod in charge. He's deceived the wise men. But as we know, and as we will shortly see, even the supposed wisdom of King Herod is about to be revealed as nothing but utter ignorance compared to the God of the universe who's ultimately in charge. So the reading concludes. After listening to the king, the Magi went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So we see here, through this divine revelation, once again, the ignorant Magi are enlightened by the Lord. And we see that the Lord is the one who is ultimately in charge. He wins the day over King Herod. He enlightens these ignorant Magi and leads them to worship Jesus. And it's in this reality of the Magi that we see one of the most beautiful truths of Epiphany, that this is the way the Lord works. The Lord enlightens the ignorant through the divine revelation of his Son. And that's how it works in our world today, too. We might think that we're not ignorant like these men. We might think that we possess wisdom and knowledge and insight, and while that may be true in worldly terms, the reality is our wisdom is profound ignorance before the Lord. This is why the scriptures continually warn us not to become wise in our own eyes, because that is the human tendency, to think that we know what's best. But we don't. And I think the year 2020 revealed that to us quite clearly, if we didn't already know it. We are frail human beings, and we are incapably ignorant of the ways of God. But see, this is precisely why this message of Epiphany is so beautiful and frankly timely as we step into a new year. The Lord enlightens the ignorant through the revelation of his Son. See, it's through his word that Jesus comes to you and forgives you of your sins. It's through his word that Jesus comes to you to strengthen your faith by the Spirit. It's through his word that Jesus guides you to reject your own wisdom and to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. I'd like to conclude with a the words from the final stanza of the quoted hymn that we'll sing together in a few minutes. Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, present in thy holy word. Grace to imitate thee now and be pure as pure art thou. That we might become like thee at thy great epiphany, and may praise thee ever blessed, God in man made manifest. In the name of Jesus.